is the oldest and largest independent association of physicians in training in the United States, according to its website. And today, I'm going to speak with the pre-med trustee for AMHSA and learn more about this impressive organization, what it does, and how it can help you as a pre-med and medical student. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast about graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. We have lots of resources for pre-meds at Accepted.com, but I would like to highlight now one that I feel is particularly helpful for pre-meds aiming to apply this summer to matriculate in 2015. Specifically, I want to mention Navigating the Med School Maze, a free downloadable report with tips for different elements in the medical school application process. I'll include a link to that, again, free downloadable report in the show notes. And now I'd like to introduce our guest for today's show, Rachel Glassford. Rachel is pursuing a Master's of Public Health at George Washington University and was working as a Pathways intern for the Department of Health and Human Services. She graduated in 2012 from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, with a Bachelor's of Science in Biochemistry. She has been active in AMHSA for approximately 5 years. She has served as a chapter officer as an undergraduate and then as pre-med regional director in 2011 to 2012, and now is the pre-med trustee. And like many of you, she is also planning to apply to medical school this summer. Welcome, Rachel, and thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about your pre-med journey to date? You're still a pre-med, so how did you decide you wanted to be a pre-med? What have you done to confirm that decision?
Oh, sure. So, prior to beginning college, I just sort of explored the idea of the healthcare system and had an interest in being involved in some way. And my mother worked as an occupational therapist in a hospital, so I had some familiarity with that. Then when I went to college, I had the opportunity to volunteer in a hospital, and that experience, being able to work and visit patients, really solidified my interest in working in that setting with those kinds of people. And then I also had the opportunity to observe what physicians and nurses and a lot of the different people in those roles in the hospital and how they function together. And so from there, I just sort of set off on my academic journey to fulfill all the prerequisites to be a pre-med.
Okay, great. And why did you decide to get an MPH? How does that play into it?
Absolutely. So my decision to pursue a Master of Public Health or an MPH sort of developed out of my extracurricular interest as an undergraduate. I had the opportunity to participate in some community outreach within the college campus and found that very enjoyable. And in my Master of Public Health curriculum right now, it's just really solidified that that will be a part of my career as a future physician.
How do you see yourself kind of joining them?
So I personally see a place in joining them in some element of primary care. Mm-hmm. I also have an interest in rural health coming from a small town in Wisconsin, and those preventative services are needed alongside the direct patient care.
Sure.
So, I just really think that my understanding of community health will influence the way that I'm able to work directly and one-on-one with patients in a community.
So you see yourself going back to a small town, basically to rural medicine? Or you're not sure yet?
I'm not sure yet, but I've sort of surrounded myself with experiences in the last 3 years in particular to determine that for myself. Mm-hmm. It really is where my heart is in terms of access to care and some of those issues that are specific to rural areas, and I feel really passionately about those things. So I do see it as the large possibility.
Now, and you were a Pathways intern for the Department of Health and Human Services. Mm-hmm. How did you get into that, and what did you do?
So that's actually a part of my experience in better understanding rural health in the U.S. I served as a Pathways intern for the Office of Rural Health Policy, which is beneath the Department of Health and Human Services and within HRSA, which stands for the Health Resources and Services Administration. I was available to apply for that opportunity from learning more about the experience through my university at George Washington, and I felt like coming in as a first-year Master in Public Health student that it would be a great experience for me to take advantage of this opportunity with a huge federal organization while I was here in the district.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And did you enjoy the experience? I mean...
Oh, yeah. I had a great experience with the Office of Rural Health Policy. It aligned very well with the things that I was learning in the classroom, so served as a great real-world example. And then they were really open and willing to sharing a lot with me about what the grant process is like in that office.
Great. And how did you get involved in AMHSA?
So I originally became involved in AMHSA just by trying to surround myself with individuals who are sharing the same goal of applying to medical school. Mm-hmm. The process is fairly competitive, and I think anyone who is on the journey can attest to that.
Oh, and sure.
It's having that kind of support, both in navigating the maze of what medical school is, but also to sort of have some camaraderie around issues that you feel really strongly about. That was a huge part of why I joined.
Okay, and AMHSA seems to have two missions. I mean, I was looking at the website in preparation for our call today, and I've been familiar mm-hmm. with the organization for years and actually spoke at the AMHSA convention a couple of times. Yeah. It seems to have two missions. One is representing physicians in training, be they pre-meds, medical students, residents, and also improving the nation's healthcare system. How does it do both? Can you give me some examples on that? In both areas.
Absolutely. Yes, and I think that these two missions, which you've mentioned, which are representing physicians in training and then improving the nation's healthcare system, reflect really strongly with the pre-medical members. And some of that is when it comes to serving as a representation for physicians in training, the policies and procedures that AMHSA abides by, or like our guiding principles, are determined by the members. So that includes medical students. Pre-medical students also have the opportunity to provide resolutions and to vote on what the guiding policies of AMHSA. So that's certainly one element to the mission. And then the second, in terms of improving the nation's healthcare system, there are a variety of ways in which that is done. And some of that is through some of the supplemental programming that's available throughout AMHSA. So something that you mentioned was the National Convention, and there
yeah.
are a number of conferences that take place throughout the year. But there are also some smaller, like more intimate programming that take place during the year, such as their scholars program, and those are topic-based and all sort of reflect an improvement to the healthcare system.
And are the smaller programs, are there throughout the country?
Yes, yeah, so they're generally web-based, and if you were to go to the website, it's within the AMHSA Academy. It's called the AMHSA Scholars Program, mm-hmm. and they're student-led, and you meet online, so certainly anyone throughout the country can participate. And as I mentioned, there's a variety of topics, and one of which is the Sexual Health Scholars Program. There's also a Global Health Scholars Program, and so that really provide this space for students to rally together and something in an area in which, you know, we feel like there should be more, and mm-hmm. then get the opportunity to brainstorm together and create other outreach and program efforts within that experience.
So is AMHSA is obviously involved a lot in educational opportunities. Is it involved also in, let's say, governmental lobbying, or it seems to be involved in programming?
Mm-hmm. So they are, we also are involved, as I mentioned, these like guiding principles that are voted upon and written by our members. We do have a health policy team of national leaders, so it provides the space for us to sign on to issues that that abide by our principles. So that kind of advocacy does take place as well.
All right. And what does the pre-med trustee do?
So the pre-medical trustee, which is the position that I currently hold, represents the pre-medical caucus for the Board of Trustees. I also work alongside the pre-medical regional directors to ensure that the pre-medical members throughout the country have a liaison to everything that's taking place at the national level. And so that's the bulk of the position.
So you're kind of this liaison person between, and what is the pre-medical caucus?
So the pre-medical caucus I would just describe as all of the pre-medical membership.
Okay. All right. And do chapter presidents, I guess they're representatives to the caucus, and then you represent the caucus to the organization.
Yeah, and I absolutely have people from all across the country reach out to me with questions or concerns. And so that's something that I'm sort of a point of contact within the organization for that as well.
All right. Now, the AMHSA convention is coming up in March.
Yes.
What are some of the plans for the upcoming convention? And what are some highlights of past AMHSA conventions that you have attended?
Oh, yeah. So this will be my fourth annual convention, actually.
Wow.
I was thinking about that before our call. And so I have really enjoyed the annual conventions as a member who's involved throughout the year, but new members in particular, or people with even a slight interest, the annual convention is a great space to learn and understand more about the organization and to be really inspired. So this year, I'm really looking forward to, we have some amazing speakers, including Sherry Fink, who is the author of 5 Days at Memorial, as well, and Jay Phelan, who is a faculty member at UCLA and the co-author of Mean Genes.
Okay.
Two that I'm really looking forward to seeing. And there are a number of workshops and clinical workshops that they've put into the programming for this year. So those are another great way to get some experience outside of the classroom. And as a pre-medical member in particular, some of those things can really inspire and drive you when you go back to the classroom and just have to go through flashcards of organic chemistry. So I find it to be a really good refresher and a reminder about what we're interested in.
Kind of an inspiration as opposed to perspiration.
Yeah. I mean, it's really important to get that every once in a while as well.
For sure. Do you have a memory that's a highlight of a previous convention, something that really stands out?
I have really enjoyed Dr. David Nash, the founding dean of the Jefferson School of Population Health. I had the opportunity to see him speak more than once, and each time as I have learned more about patient safety, which is a particular interest of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Just the last time that I saw him speak, I had the opportunity not only to learn more from him, but to see where I had grown in the past year since I had seen him before. And that was really exciting for me to really feel as though I've moved forward in my training as a physician and as a future physician, and really have begun to establish some of my interests. So that was a growing moment, and it was exciting for me to notice that within myself.
That's great. That's great. How do you feel your participation in AMHSA? Again, you've been involved, I think, now for almost 5 years. You've obviously taken on some major responsibility there and invested, I would assume, significant time. How do you feel, and I realize that you haven't applied yet to medical school,
mm-hmm.
but how do you feel your involvement is making you a better prepared pre-medical applicant, or will make you a better prepared physician in training?
So my participation in AMHSA has certainly largely defined my experience as a pre-medical student. But I think one of the highlights in this can be taken on like either extreme with the attendance of one conference or participating in one program, or the attendance of multiple, which is something that I've taken on, is that participating in the American Medical Student Association really helps you understand the field in which you will work as a future physician.
Yeah.
So some of those things outside of the classroom and just broadening your knowledge about the field, I think, has really helped me as a pre-medical student. Another example, when it comes to the recent implementation of the Affordable Care Act, is that there were educational opportunities within AMHSA to learn more about that, which will certainly influence future physicians, but may not be taught within, you know, some of the prerequisites.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, so I think that's really helps me as a future applicant.
Right. I think I agree with you. I mean, I think a realistic understanding of the field, appropriate for somebody who's not yet in the field, is really mandatory. I've spoken to many, many admissions officers at medical schools, and as far as they're concerned, that kind of understanding, usually acquired through some kind of clinical exposure, volunteering, is mm-hmm. as much a requirement as a competitive MCAT score and GPA.
Yes, and I can certainly understand that. And there's something as well, like when it comes to that being an element of your portfolio as an applicant, where what I found in this kind of learning for myself and like broadening this knowledge is that it's inspired me further and like sort of increased my passion and drive to become a physician. So I think that as well should really inspire listeners to consider reaching out to these kinds of experiences.
Okay. How does, now, I mean, you hope to be a medical student soon, and obviously mm-hmm. AMHSA serves medical students as well. Could I ask you, I realize you're not a medical student yet, but how does AMHSA help medical students once they're in medical school?
Well, I've always been impressed by AMHSA's ability to advocate for their members, which are medical students, mm-hmm. In terms of, like, historically, they have done some really amazing things when it comes to the match process and making uh-huh. that more minimal to medical student needs, or like the loan repayment programs. I see there's a lot of opportunity in the future. Another thing that I'm particularly interested in being medical student debt. Yeah. There's certainly space for medical students to rally together on that topic, and the American Medical Student Association provides a space for that as well.
Okay, well, that's certainly a tremendous issue. It's pretty really remarkable. Do you have any advice for somebody who wants to pursue a master's in public health, given that you're doing so now? I mean, if somebody's considering it, what would you suggest to them to improve the likelihood of acceptance to a MPH program?
So initially, when it comes to like the consideration of a Master of Public Health, I think it can be really helpful to just read and research what public health is, because there's a lot of times that phrase is used and maybe we don't understand it as
right.
much as we want to admit. And that's something, too, that my coming to graduate school, my understanding of public health has only like become more and like better as I've gone through the curriculum at George Washington. So I would just initially recommend that they do some of that research and then go out and get some experience, some extracurricular experience that either through organizations such as the American Medical Student Association or potentially like local health departments. I've also had the opportunity to visit those spaces, and that's another great way to understand the field as well as to show through actions of gaining that experience that you're really interested in the program.
Okay, and I realize this is probably a little early because you're not yet in medical school, but do you mm-hmm. have any advice for pre-meds?
I think.
Or even for college students just interested in medicine. Maybe that's a little bit more fair considering where you're at.
So again, so one of the biggest things that I've appreciated through my experience in the American Medical Student Association is gaining a better understanding of the application process. Mm-hmm. I can certainly remember freshman year of undergrad and just even all of the pieces that it takes to apply can feel very overwhelming. And so that's a great place to start. And I would say in accomplishing that and feeling more comfortable with the process, then you give yourself the space and opportunity to have the time and energy to be involved in other organizations. I think pursuing a sort of holistic approach when it comes to the application, like it's yourself, it's your MCAT score, it's your GPA, and then also having those extracurricular experiences are really important. And so I would just certainly tell pre-medical students that it's important not to neglect one of those areas when it comes to your application, and to just enjoy it at the same time. There's a lot of, it's a lot of pieces. And I sat through, I was in biochemistry as an undergraduate, and some of them are less fun than others, but to just sort of enjoy it while you can.
Right.
And, so that would be what I have for pre-medical students.
I think the other part is if you're not enjoying it consistently, I mean, obviously everybody has a bad lecture or whatever. If you're not enjoying the classes consistently, and certainly if you're not enjoying your volunteer experiences, your clinical volunteer experiences consistently, I think it's time to reassess. That would be the other part of it.
That's a fair note. And certainly because I would never want anyone to pursue these experiences and like begrudgingly feel like they're tasks to cross off the list. One example of that is some people believe that bench lab work is like incredibly important to your application, and that it becomes this like task that everyone must cross off their list. And that really wasn't something that I was incredibly interested in doing, and the way in which I consider that so it's not a detriment to my application was just finding another experience to sort of supplement myself as an applicant that I'm really interested in, which is more community-based research and some more in the social sciences and community health.
That's a great point, because from what I understand, bench research, unless you're applying to a research-oriented program, and here I would mean, scientific research-oriented program, bench research is not at all a requirement. It's thought to be by many people, but it's not. And I think your approach of finding something that builds up your credentials in a different way, in a way that reflects your interests, your passions, your values, is a much more effective way to go about it than doing something you don't like and is also unnecessary.
Well, yes, I certainly hope so.
I completely agree with you. And I'm sure there's not a doubt in my mind that your MPH is going to help you both in terms of getting into medical school and in terms of your work as a physician.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're just about out of time. How can a listener... Oh, one thing I did want to mention before I bring this to a close. I noticed that for the AMHSA conference, can you just provide the dates for the conference? And I believe there was some kind of...
Oh,
early,
absolutely.
The dates for the conference.
Yes. So we are nearing the early bird deadline, which I think you were alluding to.
Right, I'm not sure the show will get posted before. That's why I was...
Okay. So our national convention is taking place March 6th through the 9th in New Orleans. So if you're nearby or you want to see the city, I've never really been to New Orleans, so I'm looking forward to a new adventure. And then it's March 6th through the 9th.
Is that Mardi Gras already or not yet?
So it's right after Mardi Gras.
If
you're looking for a little vacation, maybe you can take the couple days before. But we'll certainly hope to see you March 6th through the 9th.
Okay, great. Thank you. And how can a listener learn more about AMHSA and your work there?
A great place to start is AMHSA's website, which is AMHSA.org. And going there, you'll find information about our annual convention, about all of the programming that I've described on the call today. And the one of the most exciting things for the domestic medical students who are listening, that membership to AMHSA is free for those individuals. So yeah, so please join us. We would love to have you check out the website, and then please feel free to reach out to any of the national leaders, including myself, if you have additional questions.
Okay. And what about for students maybe whose college or university does not yet have an AMHSA chapter?
Oh my goodness. So there is so much that you can do, whether you're interested in starting a chapter at your own school or to districtly become involved in the things that are taking place at the national level. There's a lot that can be done, and some people have a really great experience in going through the process of beginning a chapter, and there's a lot of leadership development that takes place in doing that. So I would highly recommend it to anyone who's considering it.
Great. Thank you. Rachel, thank you so much again for joining me here today and for sharing your pre-med journey to date, as well as the benefits of AMHSA membership and the information that you shared about your master's in public health. Listener, thank you too for joining us for our 42nd episode. As always, please share your feedback. Five-star reviews on iTunes are still particularly welcome. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing lynda@accepted.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Lynda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.